What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives.
How you feeling?
Better.
Better?
Yeah, I do feel better than I felt the last couple of weeks. I've been going through it. I don't even know what the heck's wrong with me. I was sick.
We even know what's wrong with you since you've been born.
Well, yeah, you know, honestly. But yeah, no, I was terribly sick. I had, like, the worst migraines in the world. It's not fun at all.
And they say caffeine helps that, and I think that's a straight lie.
Well, see, I get headaches if I don't have caffeine.
Yeah, that's a caffeine addiction.
Yeah, I literally have, like, a dependency on my caffeine.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Now the weather's been so hot, like, I won't drink coffee in the morning, and I'm like, this is the worst decision of my life.
Disgustingly hot. Like, it's such a hot summer.
Yep. Gross.
How have you been?
Well, I mean, since we didn't record anything last week, because you got sick.
Sorry.
I was dealing with a sinus thing, too. And, like, by the time...
It worked out for both of us.
It really did. But by the time we would have went to record, it was starting to, like, draining portion. Mm. So, every time I turned my head, I was like, whoa.
Oh, it's the worst. There's nothing worse than, like, a sinus infection.
Yeah. I went and played a hockey game that way, and it was wild.
Oh, yeah, that old, like, shake your brain. Yeah. That's crazy. But, yeah, aside from that, I don't really have anything.
No.
Nothing new other than me being sick, and it's hot.
No. Yeah, I don't think we've got anything. Still, I guess we're working on some merch. I mean,
yeah, we got some.
We have this stuff drawn
works.
Up. We just have to put the logistic portion of it together. Yeah. So, but yeah, what do you got up for us this week?
What do I have in the archives for us this week? So for episode 31,
which is crazy because in reverse, that's 13.
Yeah, wild, crazy that we've been doing this for 31 episodes already. That's wild.
It's even crazier when you think about it. That's 31 weeks.
Seriously.
Right?
Put it into perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a hotel for us this week.
Are you staying at this hotel?
I'm not staying at this hotel.
You love to tell us about hotels. And
I just
don't.
Love a nice hotel. I feel like, you know.
Then stay at it.
Maybe. I didn't say I never would. I just am not. I don't have any plans currently.
Okay.
Never been there before either,
well, how close
before
is
you
this?
Ask.
How close is it to us?
I'll get it would be a little. It would be a little far for us. I'm going to be covering the Crescent Hotel.
The Croissant.
It's arguably one of the most famous hotels in the world. So I'm sure that at least half the people listening know all about this place and its history, especially if you're listening to this type of podcast. I'm sure you want all the info. I knew as soon as we started talking about doing a podcast about this kind of stuff that I needed to cover. Somebody had to do this hotel. There's just so much to talk about.
I feel like I'm just going to leave the hotels to, like, you.
I know. I feel
you're
like
very,
it's
just... like, the hotel person.
I enjoyed
doing
it. I was going to say, and your Stanley episode was really good. You had a personal story in there from Sam, too. Like, that was sick.
Right?
But, yeah, no. Unfortunately, I don't have any personal stories with the Crescent, but I can tell you a little bit about the history. The Crescent was built in 1886 in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Eureka.
So it would be a little far for us. It's not... Not around the corner.
I don't know. I can't.
I honestly don't know where Arkansas is.
I need to pull
up
a map.
Yeah, I have no idea. It was designed to be a resort for the rich and famous, basically like Hollywood's playground, so to speak. It was literally what they made it for. It quickly became too much to manage, which is no surprise considering its size. It had 78 rooms spread across 4 floors, and the Crescent Hotel is huge. After some time, the hotel closed down, and it reopened in 1908 as the Crescent College and Conservatory for Young Women. So not only has this been a hotel, but it was a college. The institution closed down in 1924 and reopened in 1930 as a junior college. After the close of the college in 1934, it was then leased as a summer hotel.
So we got school. Hotel.
School hotel.
School, college.
Yeah.
That's kind of how life goes.
Honestly.
But,
it was... Oh, sorry.
I got to cut you off. Yeah.
He's
Arkansas is diagonally, if you're looking at Pennsylvania, diagonally left to us, next to Oklahoma, Tennessee, underneath Missouri.
I think that's where I assumed it was.
Above Louisiana. It's a part of the Chef's Foot.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. How do you find Kentucky?
Yes,
and the you little... make the chef, mm-hmm. and then Kentucky is a chef. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's exactly what you're talking about. It's his leg. All right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's your geography lesson from Nick today.
Yeah. Amazon. Looked up a U.S. map.
There you go.
I Googled it, and somehow I ended up on Amazon, but whatever.
So after all this back and forth, school, all that, it was then that the hotel fell into the hands of a new owner, Mr. Norman G. Baker.
Norman G.
In 1937, he turned the hotel into a health resort and hospital.
Oh. One of those resorts.
So we've been all over the friggin' place. Mm-hmm. We're just bouncing back. Norman Baker was a millionaire inventor and radio personality who portrayed himself as a doctor, even though he had not a lick of formal medical training. Zilch.
Yeah, yeah. None. It happens.
You know, just a normal...
Sometimes people wake up and decide that they're...
I'm going to be a doctor today.
Yeah, I'm a doctor today.
Right? He claimed he had also discovered a cure for cancer. So not only is he a doctor, he's the doctor.
Now
he's the
best. He's a poopy doctor.
Right. And he also backed a tax on organized medicine, which he said was profit-driven and completely corrupt.
I was just going to say, so let me guess, he's making money off of people who have cancer.
Ding, ding, ding. To put it simply, this man was a piece of shit and took advantage of so many sick people and their families.
Well, that ain't cool.
Nope. He had been practicing medicine in Iowa without a license, and when the residents there found him out, he fled to Arkansas with the cancer patients that he was treating.
Which, when you think is crazy on... I mean, you didn't get into, like, what he did for treatment-wise, but... I always, like, think about, I'm like, how do these people, like, get their hands on medicine and, like, other, like, chemicals and things like that? I'm like, how? I wouldn't even think about.
It is crazy. The dark web probably, well, not here, but, like, now in this day and age, you can get anything on the dark web, I'm sure. Seriously. But yeah, no, back then, it is honestly way crazier to think about, because, like, how did you...
I guess it's kind of like the honor system, they just didn't really check. Oh, hey, I'm Dr. Norman G.
Right.
You know? I need 45.
This, that, and that. Yeah. I guess.
I don't know. Well, we were just watching Stranger Things, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
We were just talking about how it was like, why aren't any parents standing up, and he's going off on this preaching thing, and it's like...
It's the 80s.
The 80s.
Right. So, Mr. Norman, he advertised the Crescent as his new health resort, designed to cure visitors of various ailments just by drinking the natural spring water of the area.
I don't think it's a cure for cancer, but...
No.
I think natural spring water is definitely...
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't have its, like, good qualities. Yeah.
But it's definitely not a...
It's not going to cure cancer.
No.
I would think not.
I wouldn't. I mean, watch. There's going to study out there. Somebody's going to call us out.
I know,
we're going to get an email.
Right. Actually, well, the law finally caught up with Norman when federal charges were filed against him in 1940 for mail fraud. He spent 4 years in prison, leaving the Crescent alone and ownerless until 1946, when it was purchased by four men named John R. Constantine, Herbert Biefeld, Herbert Shutter, and Dwight Nichols.
Isn't there... I feel like there's, like, a person, a Constantine. I know there's definitely a movie Constantine.
I would honestly be shocked if I pronounced his name right. That sounded right to you?
It sounded right to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me think of Constantine.
That sounds spelled.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, like, mythological or... You know what? It may be in, like, the DC world or something like that. Because I was watching Arrow for a little while, and there's a Constantine there.
There you go.
But I feel like it links to something.
Let me know.
Yep.
Well, these men wanted to restore the hotel into its former glory, bringing back the stars of Hollywood. So they're trying to take it back to its original purpose.
Preschool or post-school?
Preschool. It was a hotel. That was the original. It was built to be a hotel for
and
the
then
luxurious.
It went school, hotel,
school,
hospital.
Hotel, hospital, yeah.
Hotel.
Yes.
Boy.
However.
This timeline.
Their dream did not come true, as on March 15th, 1967, the hotel was nearly burned to the ground. After the fire, and nearly 30 years later, the hotel was purchased again for close to $1.5 million.
Yeah, just 1.5.
You know, just a casual.
Yeah.
Really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It received a massive restoration and renovation. Not to mention that they bought it for $1 million. Let's just renovate the whole thing. Sure, that was an arm and a leg. The Crescent was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2016, securing it a spot in Arkansas history. I feel like every single, like...
It has to be.
...place I cover like this, it's... I say that sentence. It's on the National Register of Historic Places.
They have to be. If they're not, then... It's just not. Right. It's like not true.
Right. Well, the hotel has fascinating history. There's even an archive of the history located on the hotel's fourth floor, giving the guests ability to delve into the history during their stay, which I think is pretty cool.
The history of hotel, school.
Yeah, it gives you the whole timeline.
Hotel, hospital, hotel, not really hotel, back to hotel.
Back to Hollywood Hotel.
Back to Hollywood Hotel.
Now, of course... Why am I talking about a place like this?
Because we review hotels.
This is actually that's what we Hotel do. Drago.
We stay there and we review them.
I'm giving this one a 4 out of 5 stars. The ghosts. Duh. There's got to be ghosts.
It has to be.
Duh. So one of the earliest ghosts and probably the most popular or most well-known story from the hotel is the ghost in room 218. It is said that after the skeleton frame of the hotel had been constructed in the 1880s, that one of the Irish stonemasons plunged to his death in what is now room 218.
So I would assume that's the second floor.
Yeah, I'm going to go to, yeah, usually.
Second floor, room 18.
Yeah.
So he plunged to his death from room 218 or to room 218?
So it's said that after the skeleton frame of the hotel had been constructed in the 1880s, he plunged to his death in what is now room 218. So I guess he fell into the room? I don't know.
I would think he'd fell in the room. Because I was going to say, like, two stories, I mean, you can hurt, you can die, but that's just weird luck. I would think. When we were getting our building worked on, we had somebody fall from the rafters.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Being in, like, the separate building, we don't really know all the stuff. We just always see the ambulances and the fire trucks go by.
Yeah.
They were fine. I think they ended up just breaking an arm or something, but it was crazy.
That's wild.
What's going on? And then somebody from the building came over. Because, you know, that's what everybody does. They have to gossip.
Yeah.
So they came over and like, you fell out of the rafters. And we're like, what?
What? this room, 218, proves to be the most spiritually active room in the hotel and has attracted TV film crews for decades because of the quantity and quality of the ghost sightings reported.
Really?
Really? Why would I lie? Guests over the years claim to have witnessed hands coming out of the bathroom mirror. Absolutely hate that. Cries of a falling man in the ceiling. So I'm going to go with he probably fell from
there.
He was working like up and then fell.
Yeah.
Yeah. The door opening and then slamming shut and then unable to be opened again. I just don't like any of it. I really don't like the hands coming out of the mirror.
And we're back.
Another heavily haunted area is the hotel's crystal dining room. Many employees have encountered what they call playful spirits in Victorian dresses. One holiday season, while the dining room was closed, the grand Christmas tree and packages underneath moved from one end of the room to the other. The next morning, the employees found the tree and the packages moved with the chairs circling and facing the newly placed holiday symbol. That is wild.
Yeah, that was
also
that
very
was freaking
kid-like
out.
To me.
Yeah,
it seems like a kid ghost
playing games.
If I
did walk into that ballroom though, and there were just a bunch of people in like Victorian era clothes dancing, I'd be like, I think I'll just come back.
Yeah, I'll come back later. They seem like they're having a good time.
Yeah, you seem a little busy.
Right. Another time, employees returned in the morning to find the dining room in perfect order, except for menus that were just randomly scattered throughout the room that obviously nobody had left the night before.
It's another, like, kid kind of thing.
Yeah, another time, a waitress looked into the huge mirrors that are between the doors from the dining room to the kitchen and saw a man and woman in Victorian outfits facing each other. The man turned and made eye contact with the waitress, and then the couple just faded away.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Yep. That's what you do. You look into a mirror. Although I've been making sure like all the mirrors in our house, they don't like face each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that makes like a portal or something.
Yep. I've heard that. Well, this waitress, she quit her job shortly after the incident. It freaked her out enough. I can't say I blame her. I'd probably do the same. Yeah. It would probably freak me out enough. No amount of tips is worth making eye contact with a ghost on the daily.
I go back and forth because part of me, I'm like, I'd probably be so freaked out. Like, but then the other side's like,
I don't know.
I might think it's like cool. If it didn't bother me, like if I wasn't bothered, they didn't like touch me or like didn't seem creepy, I think I might stay.
I feel like it's very situational for me with like ghost sightings. Like it really depends on the type of ghost you're seeing.
Yeah, like staying at the Conjuring house? No, I wouldn't be an employee there.
Right.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I feel like there's definitely levels to it.
Yeah, something like this hotel or like the Stanley?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Another commonly reported paranormal activity is a man in Victorian clothing sitting at a table near the windows saying, quote, "I saw the most beautiful woman here last night, and I'm waiting for her to return," which is so sad to me.
Yeah.
Like, just longing, a longing, yearning ghost.
I wonder if that's one of those ones, because there's, like, the different, I guess, tiers of ghosts, kind of. There's, like, the ones who are, like, they know what's going on, and there's definitely an actual term for these, and I can't think of it right now.
I wouldn't know them if I tried.
But there's, like, the one, an intelligent one, and then there's, like, the... Like memory one, like it just keeps, the ghost just keeps replaying the same thing over and over again.
The ones that are like literally stuck, like just like
they
in,
just,
in
they
between.
Just keep redoing the same thing. And then there's the like smart ones who like will interact with. They'll turn your light.
They know they're a ghost. They're messing with you. See, I feel like I would hope to be that. I hope that if I ever pass on, I get the option to be a ghost. Because I would be so good at haunting people.
If you stay as a ghost in Supernatural, eventually you become angry and then become a poltergeist.
Ah.
That's how it works in Supernatural.
All right. Well,
that's what happens with Bobby.
Perhaps not. Perhaps not.
It's all on, I guess, which way you look at it.
Yeah, I guess. It's perspective.
Yeah. I would definitely have to haunt the shit out of some of my friends.
Hell yeah.
Mike, I'm coming for you.
Mike, watch out. Now we're on to Mr. Steve Garrison. He was a cook at the hotel, and he says that he had two strange encounters in the kitchen of the haunted hotel's crystal dining room. One morning, while slicing and dicing vegetables, as one does, he looked up and saw a little boy with pop bottle glasses, dressed in old-fashioned clothing and knickers, skipping around the kitchen.
Knickers.
I know, it's so funny. Like, knickers. You can tell we're really talking, like, old-timey. Yeah. That's something Mom would say.
Yeah. Where's your knickers?
And even with Mom, I feel like that's before her time. It's just so funny.
I just said to the baby the other day, because she was playing with the remote. We took the batteries out of it, and she was playing with it.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, I was like, oh, do you have the remote? Or if you're Mom, remote.
Remote. Remote.
Remote.
What's the other one? Oh, my God. She says another one that's so funny. God, the next time she says it, I'm going to be like, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's literally mom language.
Sometimes she gets upset about it. It's like, but mom, these are the things like we're going to cherish.
Right, like, girl.
Like, I cherish it.
No, that's how it's, like, in my brain, that's literally how it's said.
Yeah. Like, yep. When somebody says
zinc.
It weird.
She talks about zinc. The zinc, and she says zinc. The zinc.
Can you put this in the zinc?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, it's the Philly. So anyway, another morning. Garrison flipped on the lights to begin the day's preparations when he said some or all of the pots and pans came flying off of their hooks.
Oh, they were just, you know, they were trying to help.
Imagine, like, you flick on the light and immediately you're like, boom, just like a bunch of plates and shit, like, just like in your face.
Did you not see Paranormal Activity where the ghost took all the furniture and then gave it all back?
Thanks, Toby. Like, what the heck?
Yep.
Literally insane. That's one of my favorite scenes in Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
That one gave me chills. Uh-huh. That scene totally gave me chills.
Yep. Many guests have also recalled seeing apparitions in Victorian ball attire dancing around the room early in the morning while the room was closed and dark. So they're just dancing.
Why are all the ghosts always in like Victorian clothes?
Because that was their norm then. That's what they were wearing.
But, so in like, what? I don't know, 100 years?
Yeah.
When there's, like, our ghosts and stuff around, are we just going to be in our
leggings
clothes?
Leggings and a t-shirt.
Or shorts and a t-shirt. Like,
yeah, I guess you're right. Well, no.
Or do we get to go and wear Victorian style clothing?
I guess that would be our Victorian era clothing. Like, whatever we're wearing, it would be Victorian to them.
Yeah. Millennial.
That's how it works.
Millennial era clothing. Being a ghost is complicated.
Literally, you got so much to think
There's
about.
There's so many things to think about. I just want to be Casper. He just flies around.
The friendly
no clothes,
one.
No nothing.
The friendly ghost. He just
goes. Yeah. I mean, even his uncles, they fly around. No clothes, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
Just a ghost. Because
then, like, what happens if you walk through a wall? Like, do you leave your ghost clothes on the ground?
Yeah. Do you feel it when you walk through, like, when you're a ghost? Like, do you feel it when you go through the thing? I've always thought about that, like, when you go through something.
Wait, if you're the ghost,
if you're the ghost,
ghost
like, does
it?
The ghost, like, feel that, like, they're going, like, they're moving through the wall? You know what I mean?
I wouldn't think so.
I feel like, to me, it feels like a void type of thing, like, you're going through, like, a void.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always thought about that.
I don't know.
There was one specific movie when I was a kid that made me think of it. It honestly might have been Casper. Like, watching him go through things. I'm like, you think you can feel that?
Yeah. I don't know.
So, remember earlier... Sorry, I'm going back into my hotel. Earlier, I talked a bit about Norman Baker, Mr. Conman himself. We know damn well his ass is haunting the place. Because why wouldn't he be?
Yeah, I mean, it's... But, like, that's one of those, like, why does he get to haunt things?
Right. Seriously. You were
crappy.
Like, you were not a good person.
Yeah.
Well, several apparitions from the hospital era visit the hotel today, Dr. Baker being one of them. It is said by guests that he is seen in the hotel lobby. He's described as a man in a purple shirt and white linen suit matching photographs of the famous entrepreneur. Like, he was known for wearing that, I don't know.
The purple?
Yeah, the purple was his color.
Purple.
Which is funny, because if anybody's ever watched Yellow Jackets, it's literally purple is the color of the cult in Yellow Jackets, so I feel like it checks out.
What about, oh, I found something out about myself the other day that I didn't know that I did, what is it? Why can't I think of it now? It's going to come to me.
Please hold for dramatic effect.
Well, no, we can keep going. It'll come to me and I'll just interrupt you.
Word. So, a nurse pushing a gurney also stays and hangs out in Dr. Baker's old morgue area. She's known to squeak and rattle down the halls of the hotel. A hotel maintenance man witnessed all the washers and dryers mysteriously just turn on in the middle of the night. Guess where the laundry room is?
Old morgue.
It's located right next to Dr. Baker's old morgue that still, to this day, contains his autopsy table and walk-in freezer.
How about that?
That freaked me the hell out. Like, why, after all this time, is that stuff still in the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do you still have that in there? Like, yeah. I feel like we don't need the energy.
Well, maybe it's one of those, like, historical things to, like, show.
Well, yeah, if you look, because obviously you can look at the pictures. I highly suggest, I'll post them, but, like, if you don't feel like looking on our Instagram, you can look them up online.
No, look at our Instagram.
Seriously, it's...
Look at it.
Straight out of, like, a horror movie. Like, even, it's just such a...
We couldn't pay you enough to go down there?
No. Gruesome, grimy vibe. Like, you know, like, it's
but
a
what
morgue.
If we could pay you enough to go down there?
Perhaps, like, it would have to be a hefty amount. And I'm not going down alone.
Well, I mean.
Absolutely not.
If it's a hefty amount, you're going down alone.
I'd go down for $1 million alone.
Guilty pleasure. That's what it was.
Okay, there you go.
I discovered I had, like, a secret one I didn't even know about.
Yeah?
This is completely off topic.
But that's fine.
I was like, oh, I gotta tell them this. You know how there's, like... really, like, good contestants and stuff like that, and, like, all, like, the Voice or American Idol or America's Got Talent and stuff. Apparently, I've learned that I have a guilty pleasure where, like, I'll just go and, like, keep rewatching, like, the really good.
Yeah.
Not even, like, the really good, but, like, a lot of the performances that, like, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you see that dude who looks like Benson Boone?
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, very
I
good.
I heard of... Like, I guess I knew the song Pink Pony Club, but I didn't know it. And then we sung it, and I'm like, why isn't this song on my playlist?
Literally.
Like,
literally.
So good.
That's so funny. You're like, yeah, it's my guilty pleasure.
But since I found that, I've probably watched that one at least 4 times.
Literally.
And I was sitting next to Frank the other night, and she's like, I was like, yeah, I think this is a guilty pleasure of mine. I really, like, enjoy going back and watching, like, all these performances, like, I really like. And she's like, you just figured that out? And I was like... Yeah, literally, like, 10 minutes ago. She's like, I've known you've done that for at least, like, ever. And I was like, I didn't. News to me.
News to me. You learn something new about yourself every day.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying. I just was watching the video. I was like, man, this is kind of like a guilty pleasure of mine. Because I'll go back and watch. There's like, there's some from like a few years ago. I'm like, man, this is great.
Right. Back to my hotel.
Yeah, back on topic.
Housekeepers and guests report meeting the ghost of a woman named Theodora in or near room 419. She introduces herself as a cancer patient of Dr. Baker's and vanishes after a few words are exchanged. But most times, she's seen messing with keys outside of room 417.
That would be wild if they, like, walk into a room and there's just a meeting of ghosts.
Literally.
They're just all sitting there.
Right.
They're just... Hear ye, hear ye.
I hear by... And they're all just, like, gathered around in a circle.
You will haunt room...
Literally.
This. Who wants this room today?
Get this one. You get that one.
Yeah.
That one's kind of sad, though, because... Who knows? Like, what if homegirl, like... Would it beat cancer if she was actually getting actual treatment and not just,
well, that's what sucks, because, like, the what if.
Yeah, like, it's so sad.
This dude gave false hope.
Right. Not even that. Water. He said, here's the spring water.
Here's
Hopefully it cures your cancer. Like,
it would have been better if you called it water, but.
The Crescent Hotel offers ghost tours that have produced some of the most crazy and fascinating stories. And the guides themselves also have many countless paranormal stories from their times at the hotel, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
One guide revealed that she had met a couple that was staying on the first floor near the governor's suite. The couple told the guide that on their second night in the building, they had slept with just a sheet covering the two of them. The husband then woke up in the middle of the night in a deep sweat, realizing that someone or something had tucked them in with a whole comforter.
I mean, that could have just been a nurse. That could have just been... room service, given, like, the room a turn down. Oh, look, you're actually in here. We're just going to cover you up.
He claimed that they had been tucked in three more times that night.
That's weird.
Absolutely not. Like, maybe, could you imagine?
Maybe it was room service, and, like, they have, like, a hidden door.
Yeah, and they're just
in the room, and they just keep popping in and just covering the people.
Here's your comforter.
We're going to make them think this place is
really
haunted.
Here's your comforter.
I talked to you 10 minutes ago.
That's a lot of work. Realistically.
Some people are weird.
Another guide recounted an incident where two guests checked into room 221 one afternoon. After leaving the elevator for the second floor, they immediately encountered a man wearing an all-black Victorian-style outfit. With a smile, he asked the guests as to whether or not they needed help finding their room. Them, just thinking the person was a normal hotel employee, they said yes. The man in the Victorian attire led them to room 221. He unlocked the door with his key and then pushed the door open. As the couple entered, the man stayed outside the door smiling, tilted his head from side to side. One of the two realized that they didn't tip the man, and when they spun around to give him some cash, he had seemingly disappeared. So obviously the two were a little shook, but nonetheless, they just relaxed in their room for the rest of the day. When they finally left the room and tried to re-enter room 221 later that night, the key in the door wouldn't budge. The couple went down to the front desk where they asked what was wrong with the key, and the staff member told them that they had somehow received the key to room 321. The two described the man who had originally let them into room 221, and of course, the staff member reported that no such person worked at the hotel.
Crazy.
That is such a crazy story to me. Because, like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. How did his key work? How did the key work for him? Like, what do you mean we have the wrong key?
Yep.
Who was that man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is crazy. That's a story that, like, if that happened to me, it would drive me crazy. I would tell every person I would meet.
That's also, like, if you're a doubter, that's your story right there where it's like, don't doubt. Like,
seriously.
There's no reason to doubt anymore.
Right, like, unless this entire hotel is playing some big joke on me, no way.
Mm-hmm. Or it's just some crazy person who... as actually staying in room 221 and gave us, then let us in.
It's a very, like, you'd but have to be, like, what?
To like, then turn around and, like, go give the person a tip and then just not be anywhere around.
Right. They're just completely disappeared. Mm-hmm. And they're also wearing, like, weird clothing that, like, nobody else is wearing. Mm-hmm. No, that was a ghost. You were interacting with a ghost.
For a while.
Seriously, really. Like, he took you to your room. He let you in.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Well, it's apparently his room. Their room was 321.
Right. So clearly the extent of the ghost activity at the Crescent is astronomical, and some people actually believe that the hotel is a portal to the other side.
Whoa.
When the latest owners, Marty and Elise Regnick, bought the hotel, they knew of the unexplainable reports and the hotel's haunted reputation. They even hired a few certified mediums to do a reading of the building, and the mediums reported that the hotel was a portal and is a dimension that holds spirits of the dead. So why did the mediums report such an astonishing claim? Many people believe it is due to Norman Baker and the patients that he treated. As I've said multiple times, with his lack of medical training, countless patients died under his care. Countless patients died in that hotel under his care. I can imagine it's like a major hotspot for spirits, especially like, I feel like we've talked about it in an episode before where like ghosts go back to like places that like didn't always like do them right. So I feel like that would be such a place that like you'd get stuck there, which is so sad. The apparent portal in the Crescent is said to be located on top of what used to be the morgue in the makeshift hospital. A frequent phenomenon happens on the third floor where the hotel connects to an annex that was used during the hotel's era as a hospital. This area is said to be where the portal is located, and multiple guests report faintness, passing out, and temperature changes at this exact location with no known explanation. Guests will suddenly fall pale, fainting. Recovery is usually immediate, but it does further prove, at least for me, like something or other is weird in that very specific area.
There's something that pulls a lot of energy.
Yeah, for guests to be like actually fainting, yeah, I feel like something is...
Use a compass.
Yeah. Period. See if the
compass goes wacky. You got some high electromagnetic fields going on.
Not good stuff in that area. Just to kind of wrap it up, I'm just going to rapid fire some other ghosts that I found a little information on in the hotel. A couple named Richard and Mary Breckenridge passed away in the hotel due to complications from appendicitis. Their 4-year-old daughter, Brecky, is said to be seen by employees and guests throughout the hotel bouncing a red ball. It's always a red ball. I feel like it's always a ball. If there's a kid ghost, they're always got a ball.
Yeah, balls are easy.
The bouncing of the sound, you know?
Yeah.
Dr. John Freeman Ellis was the hotel's in-house doctor during the late 19th century. He is said to be seen in his office, which is now room 202. Nope, room 212. His cherry pipe tobacco is one of the first signs that he's nearby, so if you visit the hotel, keep your eyes and nose open for him. There's always a man with a cigar.
Always.
If we're talking about a hotel or a haunted like place like that, you can smell it.
Yep.
And last, but most definitely not least, I think the coolest of all the ghosts is Morris.
He's a cat.
Shut up, Nick. How'd you know?
I had that feeling. I was like, tell me his name's Pierre or something.
There's been many resident cats during the hotel's history, but it wasn't until 1973 when hotel records started to talk of an orange tabby named Morris that walked into the hotel lobby and never left for 21 years. He became such a fixture of the Crescent that he was referred to as the general manager, and he was loved by the hotel's employees and guests. When Morris passed away, more than 300 people attended his funeral.
Wow.
Attended his farewell ceremony and wake that was held at the hotel. He is buried on the hotel's property, and visitors can step outside onto the east lawn to see his headstone. His photo is also located in the hotel lobby, as well as a remembrance poem. He is regularly seen and heard meowing and playing in the hotel lobby and halls. Lots of times, guests who don't know of Morris' history will report a loose cat to the front desk, in which they are informed that they actually just saw a ghost. Personally, if I saw a ghost cat, I would be thrilled. That is the best type of ghost you can see.
Yep. The animal ghost is, like, cool.
As long as we're not talking like a skinwalker or like a hellhound, those type of
we're
ghosts.
Just talking like your average pet,
your average phantom
average pet. None of the weird, none of the like dark things.
One of the only explanations that many ghost researchers and investigators have on why this place is so haunted, besides
Ouija board was used and not closed.
Here we go. Besides the obvious, is that they believe that limestone has a special ability to absorb and release electromagnetic and psychic energies. Crescent Mountain, the hillside that the hotel sits upon, is made up of mostly limestone. And it's, like, literally, like, perched off the little side. Like, if you look up a picture of the Crescent Hotel, you could see the Meadowlands in the back. Like, that's how close it is.
That's what it is.
The massive 18-inch thick stones used for the construction of the Crescent Hotel are made of limestone as well. So, this is believed by many to be the reason for the multitude of ghostly reports that come out of the hotel to this day. You can still visit and go to the hotel today. They do ghost tours, that whole thing. I feel like if you're not doing a ghost tour in your haunted hotel, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah, why are you staying in a haunted hotel?
Right. So I feel like I would probably go do this one. There's nothing too crazy. The morgue would freak me out for sure.
Yeah, as long as you don't wake up down there.
Seriously. Then you've got bigger issues. Yeah. You've got bigger fish to fry.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I feel like the only thing in that whole thing, I also like the whole area of which you just feel like sick and like faint is kind of weird to me. But aside from that, I feel like I could do this one.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good one.
I would chance it just for the off chance to see a ghost cat.
Ghost cat. Would you walking around with what is Meow Mix?
Yeah.
Meow, 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 meow.
I'll walk around with a churro treat and try to find them. Yeah. But yeah, it's all I have on the Crescent.
Well, that's another place you're going to have to put on your list to stay at.
Adding it to the bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to this one.
In Arkansas.
Yeah. Arkansas.
I liked it. I think it was good. I think it was, that's like a chill haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing there to get you really, like, amped up and, like, and freaked
out. Mr. Baker, he's just a terrible guy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he just...
nothing but the worst for him.
Yeah, I mean...
And his ghost.
If he just stays in the lobby...
Yeah.
I hope his ghost wakes up every day and somebody kicks him in the shin.
Literally. I wish that upon him.
All right, well, I guess with that all being said, we'll get out of here. Yeah. Otherwise, we're just going to keep rambling.
Seriously.
Follow our social medias, The Ominous Archives.
Yes.
Please rate, review, comment, interact. We'll interact back with us. It helps us get out there. Again, we enjoy doing this. We're going to continue to do it. But helping us reach other ears is always good. I have to thank Sam.
Yeah.
Sam has been a huge help for us in helping with our episodes and keeping us, I guess, scattered free.
Yeah.
Because it got crazy there for a bit.
It did.
She's her own podcast, Scare Me Sam. Go check that out if you're in the market for a new horror thriller book. Or you can go check out her website. She's got a blog on there.
Definitely worth checking out.
Definitely worth checking out. Stuff. She's got some good stuff on there. If you have your own story of the Crescent Hotel or any haunted story that you may have, feel free to email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com. And I'm pretty sure that wraps this up, Em.
Yep.
I don't think I got nothing else.
I got nothing.
Oh, all right. Well, Em, don't forget to come back next week because we're going to dive into some more strange and haunted stories down here in the Ominous Archives. See ya.
See ya.